So a show of hands, how many of you wear glasses or contacts? Now, I get that the glasses are pretty obvious if you look around, but a lot of you wear contacts, and we might not have known that. Interesting. So I see that many of you are like me, and you have gone through the experience of getting an eye exam. So you know what it's like to sit in the chair and look at a line of little fuzzy letters that are projected on the wall in front of you while your eye doctor tries a bunch of different lenses. How many times have you heard them say better one or better two? Better one or better two? But they are trying all those different lenses in order to figure out just the right prescription to make those fuzzy little letters come into clear focus. Now we are going to be playing around with this imagery of lenses and eyesight in a new sermon series we're starting today called Believing is Seeing. Over the next 6 weeks, the weeks between Easter and Pentecost, we are going to focus on what it means to see the world through the lens of Easter and the good news of new life that we find in the risen Christ. But the tricky thing about this good news is that Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. None of us were there to peer into the tomb with our own eyes or to see the linen wrappings laying on the ground for ourselves. And yet, here we are, 2,000 years later, proclaiming that the good news of the resurrection is true and that it changes everything about how we see the world. Now, often the world tells us that it's the other way around, that seeing is believing. But as people of faith, we are called to believe first, to believe in the light and love of God, even when we can't see God directly. We are called to believe in the goodness and grace of Jesus, even 2,000 years after Jesus walked this earth. We are called to believe in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, even when we're not exactly sure how the Holy Spirit is going to show up in our lives. The world tells us that seeing is believing, but our faith tells us that believing is seeing. That when we believe, we will see God at work in our lives. It is believing that helps us see in new ways. So during this season of Easter, we are going to embrace that. We're going to embrace that believing is seeing. We're going to use the good news of Easter as a lens to help us see God more clearly. Now, the story we heard in our scripture reading this morning is a great place to start because it reminds us that even the first disciples needed help to see the truth of the resurrection clearly. The story of Thomas reminds us that our doubts might make our faith a little fuzzy, but God is still there. I can't tell you the number of times over the years I have talked with people who are convinced that their doubts somehow make them unworthy of God's love. So many people seem to think that their doubts might cause God to disappear from their lives. There is so much guilt and shame that can be wrapped up with doubt. Now, I know I have said this before, but it bears repeating. If you are someone who struggles with doubt, you are not alone. There are a lot of people in this church who have doubts. I won't make you raise your hands for that one. But trust me, If you are someone who struggles with doubt, you are in very good company here. And that might seem like a strange thing for a pastor to say with a smile on her face. But you know what? Even the first disciples didn't know quite what to believe. Remember that the Gospel of John tells us the disciples gathered behind a locked door for fear of the religious authorities. Is it any wonder that they feared for their lives after witnessing their beloved teacher and friend nailed to the cross? They worried that the same religious leaders who had called for Jesus' death would next come calling for theirs. Mary Magdalene had arrived that morning to tell them she had seen the risen Lord, but they seemed to think that story was too crazy to be true. And maybe some of them felt too ashamed. After all, they had abandoned Jesus in his hour of greatest need, and seeing him again would only remind them of that terrible betrayal. So the disciples barricaded themselves behind a locked door and huddled together in disbelief and fear. But then, suddenly, Jesus was there. Jesus was right beside them somehow in that locked room. He walked right through the walls of protection they hid behind, right through the locks they had bolted tight. Jesus walked right into that room filled with doubt and fear and guilt and shame, and he offered them his peace. But one of the disciples was missing that evening. Thomas wasn't there. When the other disciples told him, "Thomas, we have seen the Lord," he did not believe them. But that made Thomas just like the others, didn't it? Because remember their reaction to Mary Magdalene? They didn't believe her at first either. So Thomas was just carrying on that tradition. He was simply following in their footsteps, desiring for himself the same confirmation of Jesus' resurrection that Mary and the other disciples had already received. And here's the beautiful thing. Somehow Jesus knew that. Somehow he knew that Thomas was struggling to understand, so Jesus came to the disciples again a week later at a time when Thomas was there too. And he once again offered the gift of peace, and he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side." Jesus was not angry with Thomas. He didn't berate him because of his doubt. Instead, Jesus sought Thomas out. He reached out to Thomas in just the way that he needed. And so the most maligned doubter of the resurrection becomes the one to offer the greatest confession of faith. It is Thomas who proclaims about Jesus, "This is my Lord and my God." Now, it is traditional to hear the story of Thomas on the second Sunday of Easter. Maybe this tradition developed not to shame Thomas for his doubt, but to recognize that there's a little bit of Thomas in each one of us, or maybe a lot of Thomas. Every year on Easter, we hear the good news of the empty tomb, the good news of the risen Lord. We hear the good news that life has triumphed over death and peace over violence and love over hatred. And then the very next Sunday, we hear of the one who said, "I am not so sure about that. That doesn't seem so clear to me." Every year, on the second Sunday of Easter, we get to hear about ourselves. We get to hear that our doubts are not evidence of disbelief. Doubts are part of a life of faith, just like it was for the very first disciples. Our doubts might make our faith a little bit fuzzy, but God is still there. And I love that this year, we get to hear this reminder about doubt and faith on the very same Sunday that we celebrated the sacrament of baptism. That seems fitting to me. Because what I tell parents when I meet with them about baptizing their children, and what I tell children when they are old enough to hear it for themselves, is that in baptism, God promises to love us forever, no matter what. So today we are reminded in sacrament and in scripture that our doubts will never cause God to love us any less. Maybe that is the good news that can change everything about how we see ourselves and about how we see our God. Amen. Friends, let us sing again. Our closing hymn today is "Teach Me Your Way, O Lord." And if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments so that you can sing along with us.